This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm here with another special Carmcast highlighting PAVE, P-A-V-E, the Professional Automotive Virtual Education Training, and it starts December 2nd through the 5th, 2021. Yes, this is a timely message, and yes, virtual training for technicians, shop owners, managers, service advisors, and collision professionals is here for you. With over 55 classes from some of the top industry trainers, PAVE has something for everyone. Hey, a great panel of industry trainers is in this episode, and they speak to the importance of installing a training culture in your shop and the benefits from the long weekend of daytime training versus nighttime, and why a training investment pays big dividends for your shop. A fitting end to 2021 with this virtual training opportunity, and guess what? You're out of excuses. Sign up at pavetraining.com. Let's make training the new normal. So let me introduce my panel. Scott Townsend from NAPA Training, ASE certifications A1 through 9, Master Certified L1 through L3 advanced level, 19 years experience, 6 years as an auto tech instructor, and he's experienced in automotive diagnostics programming and coding for gas, diesel, hybrid, and electric vehicles. Good to have you here, my friend. Adam Robertson from CarQuest Technical Institute, CTI. Adam has 37 years in continuing as an automotive technician instructor, beginning his automotive career in the early 80s. He has owned and operated his own automotive repair and training facilities since 91, shop owner and trainer. Vin Waterhouse, my friend Vin. And we have, G, Trulia, and Vin, we've drank a lot of wine together. Thank you all so much for those wonderful memories of tasting the grape. Vin is the president and founder of the Waterhouse Group, an automotive accounting, training, and coaching company. Vin has over 30 years' experience in the automotive aftermarket and has written several manuals on asset management, especially as working with auto repair shop owners and NAPA. And G, Jerry Trulia from ATTS. G is a ASE world-class technician, ASE triple master technician in automotive truck and school bus L1, L3X, 1 CNG, and C1, as well as an ATTP master instructor in New York State, Connecticut, and New Jersey. G is recognized by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency as one of the foremost OBD2 experts. Thank God it's not by the FBI.
They may put me away.
G has achieved national National Institute for Automotive Service Excellence certification, won a Golden Wrench Award, and is one of 1,900 ever to be certified as a world-class technician. Thank you, G, for being here.
You're more than welcome, Carm. Pleasure to be back.
And I know that you have done an awful lot of work behind the scenes on PAVE and in pulling it together and in making it all happen and marketing it. So thank you for bringing this panel together. Concentrated training, guys. I mean, you know, it's like a 4-day event from lunch and learns, from being at home. And if I do believe there's access, if you sign up for the training and you can't make one of the classes that you signed up for, you can still see it within 30 days. Am I right?
That is absolutely correct, Carm. So they can go back and review it, play it over and over. So 30 days, it's a great deal to see some of the top instructors like Scott and Adam and Vin and many, many others. I mean, there's, I think, 50 some odd different sessions, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I believe it is.
It's a massive amount of information pounded in just a few days. It's an incredible event.
And the one we did at the beginning of the year, 2021 of January, we were pleasantly surprised. All the people we had on, the interaction, the great, great instructors that really gave so much to help the industry, because that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, we need to, as I usually say, update or evaporate. And vehicles are just becoming super electronic machines that if you don't stay up on your game, you're not going to be around. You know, you'll just be gone, you know, like that Oldsmobile or Saturn, right? They're not around anymore. So, you know, we need, and by the way, it never happens without management. So Vin, who happens to be a friend, and I've done loads of management classes, not that I teach, but I've sat in, and there's plenty of other people besides Vin out there with management. And this is important because if the shop owner does not take a management class, well, they won't be around to do Scott's class or Adam's class or mine or any other technical class. They need to understand what they're doing in business today. So I think it's very important that that aspect, besides body. But as we know, if you don't stay, you know, abreast and go to classes, you know, you learn from other people. You can learn from the chat, right? People can type stuff in. You get a question answered. You go, oh, you know, I didn't know that. Just like last night, I was doing a webinar, and the guys out in Chicago, they were saying to me, wow, I got that car coming in tomorrow. It's going to help me fix it. Now, that's great. It really is important. And I think with the great instructors here, you know, the NAPA training, the CarQuest training, good stuff, WorldPAC instructors, we got the top of the line instructors. This is an event that you should not miss. If you haven't signed up, what are you waiting for? Sign up today.
Why don't you threaten them, G? Threaten them, and then maybe they'll sign up.
We'll bring them down the Bronx and leave them there if they don't sign
up. You know, this sounds like a telethon.
You made the comment that, you know, we've got our technical training and then the management training. And you made the comment that, look, without the management training, without, you know, the proper management control of a shop, it doesn't do any good to get the rest of it. And, you know, as I've taught my classes, I've worked with CarQuest for 2 decades now. Since the very beginning, I've been a CTI instructor back from 99. And all these years, I've been running up and down the West Coast. It's really been in my heart to tell the technicians that, you know, shops are a team. They're not two parts, G. You know, they're not, you know, that we have the guys out in the shop. We have the guys up front. We're really all one team. And so I've always stressed to my guys that from a management standpoint, whether it be the owners, you know, the service advisors, you know, the manager, whatever it be, they need to see what we're doing from a technical side. But it's just as important that they see what happens from the technical side as we as technicians see what happens from the management side, instead of having that fence built between them. And so an event like PAVE, and if you think about this, an event like PAVE gives the opportunity for the technician to take the live technical training classes that he wants from us, but in the same time, go back and review what the management trainings were. So maybe they can link together, you know, those two halves to make, you know, some of the best shops, in my opinion, are shops that work as a complete team. And this gives you the opportunity to see both halves and not miss out on the half that you want, you know, from your daily routine, you know?
And that is super important. I agree with you, Adam. Being a shop owner myself, it's very important that management works right alongside the technicians, because it is a two-man show. And no one knows this better than our buddy Vin with the labor factory, right, Mr. Vin?
Yeah, I can tell you, I was starting to put together a little something for today. And as you probably know, I keep statistics for shops, and they're published every 2 years through NAPA. The COVID has really been good for shops overall. Overall, Carm, if you go back to 2019, when we had a little, we did our first podcast together, the average shop's net profit was about 1.99. It's now up over 3. Sales are up by about $93,000 per average shop. Parts profit, labor profit, everything is up. But the profit that they made was disproportionate to the amount of sales increase. Sales increase was up about 12.5%. Labor rates are up by $8.47. They went from $86.09 to $94.56. There's a lot of things that have happened, but because of the management side, I think there was a lot of money left on the table. You know, the old saying, all boats float at high tide. Well, we had high tide due to COVID. I don't know any shops that aren't busy as heck. They get more sales. They're backed up a week, 2 weeks, 10 days, 12 days. But their profit has not improved as much as it should. I can tell you that the net profit went from 1.99 to 3.35. But think about this, as they grew their business, they were doing that artificial. The profit is artificial because of fixed expenses didn't go up. As their sales increased, their rent, their insurance, certain equipment, all the fixed expenses did not go up, and many of them ran lean. So I think it's time to really take advantage of this marketplace. And my presentation is going to be basically on a standard labor rate, which is going to be based on every shop has a tech 1, 2, and 3. I don't care whether you have 2 techs, 5 techs, 12 techs. They're going to have different skill levels. And we're going to have to calculate a labor rate that covers all the different skills. 1 tech is 80%. 1 tech is 70%. 1 tech is 55% efficiency, efficient rather. Then we're going to have to create labor intensive rates, because as we morph more and more towards electric vehicles, it's coming even faster than I thought it was going to have. Electric vehicles have about 2/3 less parts per vehicle than typical internal combustion engines. So I believe shops are going to have to learn how to make their money in labor like plumbers, accountants, and carpenters do, and electricians do, and have the profit and parts as extra money. And I'll show that over this paved weekend. And then the diagnostic rate is critical because these vehicles are computers on wheels, to use a cliche. So couple that with the ability, I'll show the importance of the labor factory and being efficient. And as we go along into this electrical part of it, these challenges, and then these other trainers will show you how to become more efficient by improving your technical skills.
A friend of mine, Bill Hill from Medina, Ohio, Mighty Auto Pro, was on with me a couple of weeks ago and talked about his private training that he's had for the majority of the year. They hire a trainer to come in and work with, three or four shops in the area. And one of the quotes out of that was this. He says, Carm, it's been so good for my company. It's been so good for my people that we are relying less on Google to give us answers for stuff. and I thought that was like the gem of a takeaway. If we don't update, we're going to evaporate, and it's coming at us faster than ever. Now, Scott, what are you going to be teaching here on the PAVE weekend?
Oh, why would you ask a question like that? I believe it's intake airflow technologies is what we're going to be going after. I got to derail. I got to go back. One, doesn't happen very often, so it's definitely worth noting. Someone needs to write this down. I couldn't really agree with G more when it comes to the training aspect of a shop and the holistic approach of a shop. Was literally at a shop last night. Go and do mobile calls and help with programming issues and that kind of stuff, obviously, with what we do. And I was there, and there seems to be a mass exodus from three or four different shops kind of in my area, and we'll leave that to that. But all of it comes from the fact that they've got the tools and equipment, and they have techs that are passionate, but you have a management team that just stunts growth at every opportunity that they can, does not want to be part of that holistic approach. And I couldn't agree more. When you come to major training events like this, obviously we just did AT a little bit ago, was out there with Brenda, had a very long conversation with Brenda about it. It's like, yeah, you know, there's this part of it, the technical training that we're going to provide, and that is phenomenal. But I still feel like they, you know, a lot of times they'll go back to the shop and they're butting heads because one compartment of that entire business doesn't want to play ball. I would like to urge more than anything, even though I'm there to do technical training for the technicians, those are the people that I'm most excited and most passionate about sharing the knowledge that mentors and just School of Hard Knocks along the way has taught me. But it's just as important that they're getting information from management and service writing and just understanding all the way from the owner down through, because Adam and G and I, we can all do phenomenal work at teaching that technician, and it's not really going to matter if he can't fully implement it when he gets back. So yes, super excited about the classes that we're doing out there, and I always have a great time doing it. The relational part of training is probably the one that I enjoy the most. And you know, anytime, and my wife will attest to this as well, it may be a 3.5 or a 4 hour class. It's probably going to be about 6 hours by the time we're done, because usually the conversation afterwards tends to be longer than the class itself. But again, if you're able to embolden, right? I think in a lot of cases, the technical information, yes, it's there. But honestly, we're teaching them to be deductive thinkers, right? We're teaching them to have a multifaceted approach, right? To have a couple different perspectives to look at a car. I know certainly it's happened to me. It's probably happened to all of us, even to the point where I'll get working on a vehicle. I'll almost tunnel vision myself a little bit, and somebody can walk by, right? And it could be, and this is why I love everyone. I won't ever discount someone or think that they don't have the aptitude to work on a car, classify someone as a C tech or something like that, for the simple reason that we had a new kid in the shop that I was working in about, I don't know, 8 years ago, I guess. And he was hired, had no technical experience, but, you know, take out the trash can, sweep the floors, all that kind of stuff, which I did the exact same thing. Luckily enough, I was in the same shop that Randy Dillman worked at, where I was the dude taking out the trash, sweeping the floors and cleaning people's bays at night and all that kind of stuff. And he walked by and he's like, "What's that?" And literally pointed out the one fault in this car that I had been looking for about 45 minutes, right? But I was so far on the other end of the moose, it wasn't even funny. So I think having an approach that is going to bring an entire shop together, and definitely for Pave, that's one of the things they're doing. It's not just catering to the technician. It's so important that everybody else is there. That's definitely what I love about it.
You know, Scott, you hit on a very good point there. You know, one of the things I always tell shop owners, sometimes they need to sit in a technical class to see what their techs need to know. You know, it's not about, and Adam and I being shop owners, you know, yeah, we want to get the vehicles out the door. But the bottom line is, they definitely got to test and not guess. They start throwing parts out of the car. These things are expensive. You make right. that wrong decision, it's a money breaker, right? And who gets stuck with it? The shop owner. So I think they need to sit in. And I also like that Vin has a program not only for owners, but for technicians. Like, they'll go on a tool truck. They may be on there an hour. You don't have to spend an hour on a truck of my time.
But sometimes,
right? I mean, sometimes you may have to, but you know what I'm saying? They need the tools or they can't do the job, but yep. every minute is money. We're a labor factory, as Vin puts it, and we need to make the money on labor.
Well, I just remind you what you guys are going to provide as value. At $100 an hour, 3 minutes an hour is over It's $1,020 a month per tech. So if you got a shop with three techs and that you find a way through the shortcuts and things that you learn through your technical training side of it, and you say 3 minutes per hour, it's over $3,000 a month if you never sold a part. And that's where it's so important for shop owners to understand, not only the technical side, but the management side, because as we sell less parts per driven mile, as we go more towards EVs, they're going to make it more and more in the labor.
You know, isn't it amazing that it they're on the tool truck, right, G? And it feels okay. I'm monitoring it. You know, it's getting a little long. But when Vin steps to the plate and he puts a number behind it, ouch.
Yeah. Well, but see, now tool truck day, we always work through lunch. So it was totally cool. You could spend up to an hour on the tool truck, no more. And you were going to be working through lunch. So
yeah, we have currently 4 tool trucks that come in, and I'm pretty good with the guys. 4 tool trucks. That's a lot of 3 minutes here and there, but that's where we got to work as a team and make sure that we purchase stuff to make those extra 3 minutes. And, you know, as Vin said before the pandemic, we are having our best year in the shop. I mean, people are spending money, and we lost 162 customers that moved to the Carolinas, Florida, or Texas from New York. You know, after the riots and stuff, some people moved out, but they're spending more money than we've ever seen before. So all good on our end. And I think the PAVE event, again, the PAVE training event, is going to give everyone the tools they need, not off the tool truck, but right up here to put to this so we could turn that wrench or socket and make money. That's what it's about.
Just that I can't help it because I'm numbers. Pre-COVID, the average ticket with that shop's doing oil changes, not tire shops now. The average ticket was about $274. Today is $338.
You know, it's a cliche, G, but you know what? The best resource and tool we have right up here, man. That's what allows us to think outside the box when we need to do that a lot more often than we had to in the past. I mean, I'm not cutting down, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s that cars were simple. We know darn good and well some of them were not simple. But look at where we're at today, guys. Look at where we're at today. The trouble tree chart, those days are gone. I'm sorry. It's outside the box. And you know, Scott, this was awesome. I love the way you said this now I'm on my soapbox here, okay? But I love some of the comments you made about getting in and getting the tunnel vision. And every good technician, whether they admit it or not, has been in the same position you have, dude. They've been in that position where, you know, the guy sweeping the floors, dumping the garbage, walks by and says, what's that? You know, and we did it, and you were saying it, and I didn't want to laugh out loud because my mic's turned on, but I'm like, oh my gosh, it's happened. And then we have to make the decision. We have to make the decision as technicians. So do we tell them they were right, or we just stuff
yeah,
it?
Oh, absolutely. You have to tell them they were right. You have to tell them
more
right.
Than the master.
We are doing a disservice if we don't. Again, because in the end, like I said, we're building deductive thinkers. But again, the best way I think we can do that is embolden them with a confidence of what they are doing and the tests that they're doing on this vehicle, whatever it happens to be. So yeah, anytime you can shove some confidence their way, yes, 100% I will. And it saddens me to see, you know, so many kids obviously leaving that field maybe to go chase down something else. But I'll put in the time, even if it doesn't come back around. I'll put
it
in.
You know,
time.
Scott, sometimes the empty sponge, as I kind of call it, the empty sponge can absorb something when it spills. And a person that doesn't know a lot, they're thinking a totally different way. And the brain, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands, most important tools are what God gave us. Sometimes we have that tunnel vision, and tunnel vision is something that you just can't help because you know you've had that problem before. So you start looking this way. They're a clean slate. They're that empty sponge that's wrung out.
There's zero blue car syndrome, right?
Exactly. And then they fix it. You know, and with PAVE, remember this, everyone. Training doesn't cost, it pays. And it pays in a gazillion ways. I used to put that in our old Napa books when we wrote the Napa books years back. And it really does not cost, it pays. Because when you spend the money on training, you're going to get it back tenfold. And that includes technical, management, body. And we have it all at PAVE for you starting on Thursday, December the 2nd. Through the fifth.
I love what you said about training pays. Gee, I like to say that you invest in training. Think about it, guys. You just buy yourself an alignment machine, and there it sits, all beautiful, all shiny. Whatever color it is, it just doesn't matter. If you, as an owner or a service advisor, don't get off your best intentions and sell alignments, probably in a bigger way than you ever did before, you'll never pay for that investment that you made in that machine. You know you have to do training. It's an investment, but you got to sit down. What does our shop need? What areas of concern do we have? What could we put each guy in a different class during the weekend? And then maybe we'll have access to the ones that we didn't go to and or come back. Teach us what you learned. And now we're building a network of experts inside of our own facility. So training is an investment. Always think it like that. $299 for non-members for an individual to have total access for those from the 2nd through the 5th, G?
Yeah, and 30 days after that. How can you beat that with a stick? I mean, that is very reasonable. And a very small amount of money to pay compared to flying out. We were just out in Vegas, right, Calm? You know, and when people fly out to all these different places, you got a hotel, you got travel. Here, you're in your shop or in your home. And I do like when guys do it in their shop. We do a lot of the Napa training in our shop. We'll put it on the big screens and we'll sit down. I'll buy them dinner and we'll go through that particular training. And that, I think, really brings everyone together. They see, you know, me as the owner, we have the manager, we have the techs, and it all works out. Here with PAVE, do it. Have them come in, give them a couple of bucks. It's that time of year anyway. And also, it's time now to go through these classes and go, hey, maybe I need that Pico scope behind Adam over there. You know, I was thinking about buying one, or I want to buy an ATS scope or a new alignment, a Hunter alignment equipment, whatever. This is the time to go through, see what you need, see what you're missing, and then take the money and spend it. Invest in your equipment, and most of all, invest in yourself.
Yeah, I don't know how much time we got left here. If you can clear about the next 3.5-4 hours, we could probably cover all the stigmas that there are, you know, in automotive training. But yeah, if there's a way, and Carm, you said you always thought about it and is investing. Man, twice in a day, G, I'm gonna agree with you. Like, if we can change how we look at training, we're going to be better off for it. And I'm sure it's possible I'll get fired later today from Napa for saying this, but it's the point. Even when I'm doing training with a specified auto care group, right? And they're like, such and such, CTI, Worldpac, Standard Motor Products, whoever it happens to be, you know, they're coming in. I will do everything to encourage them to go. I don't want you to be 100% brand loyal to our training. I want you to train. That is what's going to make you better. Again, multiple perspectives. And here you got your events, right? When you're talking about ATE, PAVE, Vision, all these other places. You can go and you can get multiple perspectives, not only for the technician, but again, for service riders, for shop owners. If there's some way to change that stigma of, I have to invest because that means that we're putting money that I could have spent on, I don't know, a boat or something on, you know, on training. It needs to be part of what we do. It's part of our occupation, right? It's continued education like you would see in the medical field, like you would see anywhere else. I would love for it to be mandated, and I don't want to get into a mandate conversation today because we don't have time for that either. But it's just a point of, I would love for that to be the norm. I would love for, once a month, here's a training that we're going to do. And you see the shops that actually set that platform up. Those are the successful shops. They're the ones that don't stop, right? Don't get to the point where they're like, we're good. The moment you say you're good, I think, is the moment that you're not, right? The moment that I say, I don't need to train with anybody else. I think I'm pretty much done with my career at that point.
He's talking about a training culture. Can I say to you, Scott, that the word mandate was right? And here's why I'm saying that.
I can't mute your microphone, so yes, you can say that to me.
If I was a shop owner and I realized that if I don't train my people, they'll probably leave and go find a shop that's willing to give them that kind of investment, then I need to put a mandate in my business that says you all got to have 40 hours of training a year, including me as the owner. Why shouldn't I be there? Because I want to run a better place. Training culture, business culture, great customer experience. It's the package.
One of the other things that sometimes gets missed out there is we can go to all the training in the world, but the management and the ownership need to give the technicians the time necessary to implement the training and utilize the tools and learn. And for, a lot of, and this isn't to knock against management, it's just what I see when I'm out in the field at shops. In a lot of cases, they're more like, hey, we gotta have this car done. I'll order in the part, we'll try it out. And I think in some cases, they don't realize they can be their worst enemy by not letting the guys study. And one last topic on this, of all the years that I've been on the road teaching, I can pick out several shops that were incredibly successful as compared to others. And one of the things that I put together is when they showed up to training as a team, the owner, the manager, everyone as a team and made it an event. Some of those guys, and this was awesome. I first saw this from a shop in Paso Robles, California. One of my shops told me, Adam, she says, every night we come to your training. The next day at the shop, we don't open for an hour. We take the first hour and we practice and talk about what we learned the night before as a team and try to implement it. And maybe we hook that lab scope up or we grab that scan tool and we try just a couple things. And he goes, look, it's for two reasons. A, we want to do what you said. And B, if you said something wrong, dang it, we want to come back and show you up. And I'm like, hey, I love it, man. That's that culture. And it's just been awesome.
It's part of the forgetting curve, too, Adam, to have that kind of exercise the day after. Within 30 days, I can't remember the exact number, but you lose if you don't implement what you learned. If you don't make it part of your constitution going forward, you forget it. Now the book's on the shelf, or you can grab an online review of the class within 30 days, but don't waste this investment. Tracy's in the background producing this for us, and she just sent me this really cool quote, guys. And I thank you for this, Tracy. She says, here's a post-pandemic tagline. Let's make training part of the new normal.
Very good. Nice, Tracy.
Yeah.
And you know what?
You send my royalty checks. I'll give you an address so I can do afterwards. Anyway, no, but it's that point again, creating culture. I'm sure you guys have fallen into this trap too. So I might be out doing mobiles for X amount of time, and then I'll be in my personal shop. Just the nightmare shop gave up cars, right? That's the only thing that's allowed in there. I'm fairly sure I should put a sign out front that says, no vehicles are allowed to drive in here. Like, they have to be pushed. That's just the way it needs to be. Because those are the only ones I really want there. You'll work on that until midnight, and then you come inside. And I am not, and I hate to say this on this forum, I'm not a huge social media guy. I really don't spend a lot of time on social media. I don't have a Facebook account or anything like that. I probably should. A lot of my friends do, and there's all these great networks to share information and train and help each other. And that's great. But Napa or GPC makes us be part of LinkedIn as part of being an employee. And I'll get on LinkedIn, and there was one of these, posts or videos, whatever it is, but it goes on. It could have been a TED Talks for all I know, but they were talking about building culture, and the guy said the greatest line. He's like, well, you don't build that culture by, buying coffee and donuts in the morning. You build culture by being interested in what that person is on about. to try to facilitate, you know, the difference between good leaders and managers. That's something that is a gigantic part of a successful repair shop. If I have a manager there and his job is to make sure that, you know, I fall into that, these categories and this bay efficiency and all that versus an actual like leader for that shop who is concerned with what we need in order to be more efficient. Just the change in demeanor means so much. And from the shops that I've worked in, I was seven shops, I think, over, you know, the career where it's like, yeah, I'm being managed and that's fine. And when you have the determination to go out and buy your own tools, implement scopes, implement factory scan tools, great. But when the shop doesn't do it for you, it's, man, they're just sitting there stunting your growth. So not only are they hurting their bottom line, and not only do your service riders now not have the confidence to sell a lot of what they need to simply by maintenance requirements and understanding the entirety of that job, it literally hurts the shop on all aspects. When you can't be a good leader in your shop by understanding and hearing and listening to the techs all the way down to the floor sweeper of what they need in order to do a better job. You know, you're crap, move on. You know, it's like, what can I do to help you be better at what you're doing, to help you grow?
You know, Scott, to switch this up a bit here, we were talking about training. Most training is done at night, you know, myself and Adam and you, we do the training at night. But when are people the best learners? It's during the day. And one of the things I think that needs to be implemented, and I love doing this in state programs, they were always day programs. And maybe if we took a day a month and did training during the day where the guy is getting paid or the gal's getting paid for it, they're going to absorb a lot more. And you're going to make that money back tenfold. You know, we are only open Monday through Friday, but when there is a training event that's during the day, we just close down and go. I remember one of the first companies ever to do that was a Mac Tool, actually. They had a three-day training program. They would do a couple of things at night, and then they would use the local community college here in New York, and we would basically go there during the day. That's when guys learn best. And at PAVE, we're doing a couple of days. We're doing Thursday. We're doing Friday, and, of course, Saturday and Sunday. Now, some shops may be open, but you need to take the time to go to this PAVE training event, learn during the day, and maybe this will help all of us implement hands-on training during the day. Because let's face it, at night, I do a lot of night stuff and have done it for years. 6:30 to 10:30 was usually my classes, which means we usually stayed to 11-ish, and I got home 1 in the morning. Well, 4 or 5 o'clock when I wake up, rolls around like, boom, it's there. You know, and some of the guys go, well, how do you do it? They're dead tired. If you have an employee that's tired, you know, they are not going to absorb stuff. Okay. So I think if we can kind of push for this daytime training, I think we'd be that much better off. Look at IBM, look at, you know, Fluke or any of these companies that do any electrical training. I do New York City Police Department. I do New York City MTA, the Sanitation Department. It's all during the day. There is no nighttime stuff at all because they know that's when you're the freshest. And right. I'm glad
all
to
the
see,
municipalities.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that PAVE is, you know, and being on the marketing committee, that we took a Thursday afternoon and a Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And if people come out and spend these 4 days and again, could watch it for 30 days, Calm, 30 days, they can go over it. I think they're going to get a lot out of this. It's worth every single penny. And if you haven't signed up, what are you waiting for? Sign up today. Go to pavetraining.com.
That was a heck of a commercial. Gee, I loved it.
It was.
Thank you for that. I loved it.
That sounded like the end of the show.
Oh, boy.
I couldn't have staged that better, G.
Well, it was just on my mind. You know, I really, for years, I've been a big one with training. And, you know, I pay my guys to go to training. Now, sometimes, yeah, we've been swamped and crazy, backed up like today, and we're off tomorrow, Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgiving, everyone out there and all you guys. But we're also off Friday. You know, rest sometimes, not just coming in and try to make the almighty dollar, but people need to absorb and people need to rest so they can come in fresh. If you overwork someone, you're not working slow. You know, having completed in my day 53 marathons, One of the doctors that I used to go to, holistic doctor, Phil Moffitone, he did the all-time Ironman winner and female and male, Mark Allen and Colleen Cannon, and did the Porsche racing team. And Phil Moffitone would always say, you know what? Don't go out to run to do junk miles. And it's the same thing with work. You're going to do junk work because you are too tired. And it's the same thing teaching a class. You know, we get burnout sometimes. I used to hate when I did a state program, I would have to teach 3-4 hour classes, the same class in one day. Then I go, hold it. Did I tell you guys that? Oh, no, hold on. It was two classes ago. So those are junk things. We need to update in this industry some of the things. And I think that's daytime training. And don't forget to go to PAVE training because we're doing it during the day.
And if you're going to watch any replay, do it during the day when you're awake, and you could always invest in some weekends, post-weekends. So really, thank you so much, G, for being here. I know we're going to do this again on Monday afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern, with a brand new set of PAVE trainers. And so we'll get a completely different perspective on that. A couple of my big takeaways, guys, training culture is so critical and important. And also, what a perfect ending to 2021 is to invest in technician and business management training. And of course, the big takeaway is daytime. You know, if you could just print out the entire list of everything that's going on with PAVE, it's mind-blowing. The titles, the trainers that are there, some of the best trainers in our entire industry have invested here in this program. And I think over a dozen business management seminars, including, of course, one of yours, Van, that's on here. So, just think about the fact that you are a technician who wants to be a shop owner. Who says you can't take a business management course and get inside of the kinds of responsibilities that it takes to be a business owner? So, hey, guys, any final quick words before we, as I say, put a bow on it?
Well, I'd like to remind everyone that the opening remarks are going to come from the one and only Calm Capriotto.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. I have opening remarks. There's no pressure there. There's no pressure there.
So it's always a pleasure listening to you, my friend. And I want to thank Scott, Adam, and, of course, Vin and yourself. And don't forget Tracy in the background. Nothing happens without Tracy.
No. She's, she's.
Where is she?
Well, she doesn't like to come on that often, actually. All right. Well, hey, look at everyone. PAVETraining.com, December 2nd through the 5th, coming up in, 7 or 8 days. So thanks for being here. Pass this around. Share it with your friends. More importantly, put a fitting end to 2021 and go off for a nice long weekend of training. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.